It is a gift from you. The world is turning in its place because you made it too.
Good morning and welcome to It's a New Day. I'm Tim Kennedy, and I'm here with Elle and Susan Locke.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, Elle. How was your long weekend?
It was good. How about you?
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Lovely
Very,
weather.
Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. It feels like July. Yeah. Well, we welcome you all, and before we get to our first guests, we like to share a word with you. And Psalm 119, 89 and 90 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations." And without further ado, we have Diana Reamer on the line. Diana, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Diana is with Tea Party Patriots. Diana, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am a grassroots, I'm on the grassroots team with Tea Party Patriots. I live in Lansdale, PA. I've been with Tea Party Patriots since 09, the beginning of, March of 09. My husband Don and I have helped start 10 Philadelphia Tea Party Patriots groups. About five of them are still up and running, which is pretty good.
That's good.
What else would you like to know?
Well, why don't we get to the point? I know you have an agenda, things that you need to share with our listeners that's important for them to know.
Right. Tomorrow, Tea Party Patriots, along with coalition partners, will be holding a Stop the Iran Deal rally on the West Lawn of the Capitol in D.C. starting at 1 o'clock.
Are there buses going down there, Diana?
We do not have any buses this time. People are coming by car, train. Some people are renting buses, but Tea Party Patriots is not involved in the buses this time.
Who do they contact if they want to go down?
If they want to go down, they can contact me, Diana@teapartypatriots.org. I know of one person that's trying to put a bus together up in our area, the Bluebell area, and I can put them in contact with her.
Okay.
As Linda Raines, I believe. But I have that contact information, and I'll be happy to share it.
Okay, great. Is this a national effort or just local?
Oh, no. Do you mean the rally?
Yes.
Oh, no. There are many coalition partners along with Tea Party Patriots, which is a national organization. We have For America, the Zionist Organization of America, Secure Freedom. There are some veterans groups. Our speakers will be Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, Glenn Beck, Mark Levin, Frank Gaffney, Louis Gohmert, Steve King, Mark Meadows, Trent Franks, and many more. This is a totally bad deal for America. Everything is good for Iran, but for us, there's nothing in it, including the release of four American hostages.
This is Al Locke, Diana. I just wanted to comment there. 200 generals and admirals have come out against this treaty. It validates everything you've said. It's hard to imagine that our Congress would let this go through. It's almost like a trick that they haven't classified this as a treaty, which requires a two-thirds majority, which would never pass the Republican-controlled House and Senate. It's a sleight of the hand, backdoor thing where they voted to disapprove it. Now the president can veto it. They can't override it because certain Democrats, even though some Democrats have come out against it too. So you're absolutely right. This is a bad deal for America, for Israel, for the countries in the Middle East, and I commend your efforts for opposing.
Well, and a few other points, Al, is President Obama submitted the terms of the agreement to the United Nations before providing Congress the opportunity to weigh in. I mean, that is so totally wrong. He went to foreign countries before his own country, before his own Congress, and you would think that they would be rather upset about this. It acts like a treaty. It should be treated as a treaty.
Yes.
But they are calling it a deal, which it is not a deal. It's a treaty.
And Kerry's lame excuse is that, well, if we treated it as like a treaty, we couldn't get it through Senate or Congress. Right. We have checks and balance.
And there's nothing in this for us, including our four hostages.
Exactly.
Are four American citizen hostages. There's not one word of their release.
So the idea here is keep the pressure on our elected representatives that you...
Absolutely. Of course, the Senator Casey is voting in favor of it. We were down at his office a few weeks ago, and his aide came out and talked to us. But, you know, if these politicians would start thinking about their country instead of politics and the party, we'd be a heck of a lot better off.
Can't disagree with that.
Amen.
That's for sure.
That's right. Yeah, it's true.
Believe it or not, it's even worse than what you say. The Iranian, one of the high-level officials in the Iranian government, just came out recently and said their end goal was to destroy Israel and establish a new state of Palestine, and coupled that with the destruction of America. How can we even deal with anybody? How can we sit down at the same table when their stated goal is to destroy us? Beyond President Obama really is to be questioned here. He has an advisor that's of Iranian extraction there, and
exactly.
Basically the whole thing is almost traitorous, in my opinion. It's, you know, to destroy Israel, you know, we shouldn't be dealing with these people. We should be doing everything we can to impede their progress. We shouldn't be making it possible for them to have more money so they can pursue their goals of destroying the United States and Israel.
Well, it's true, and I don't know why... Well, of course, I can't answer that, but this does not guarantee that there will not be a war. It does not guarantee that at all. And I'm not for war. I don't, you know, no one wants war. But some people feel if this deal goes through, it will guarantee there will be no war. There is no guarantee.
That's right.
You cannot trust these people.
That's right.
You can't trust them. There's nothing in their background that ever would cause anybody to say, I trust them.
Their own Quran says, and it says this, you know, you can look it up, it says that it is okay to say whatever it takes in order to meet your end goal, which is to turn people into Muslims. So it's whatever it takes, lying, saying, doing anything so that they don't have a code of ethics or morals that they move by.
Exactly. They don't. And I mean, it was on TV that they're still calling America the Great Satan.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Well, what doesn't make sense to us? I think this president and his administration has an agenda, and whatever it takes to get their agenda through, they're going to do it, whether they follow the Constitution or not. And they're not thinking of the American people here. They're thinking of themselves and the power that they're going to have. But I do believe that if this deal goes through, things are going to come back and hit them right in the face.
Well, I was reading that Netanyahu has an ace up his sleeve that he's playing. He's sending an ambassador to France because France is the most reluctant player in this agreement. And he's going to work on them to come up against this. And if it's successful, it would be humiliating to Obama. So we have to pray to that end, Diana, that this deal is thwarted. We know ultimately God is in control of the outcome. That's what keeps our feet on the ground here and keeps us from going bonkers. Like, what is going on?
Well, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I think everybody says, oh, well, this doesn't make sense to us. No, it doesn't make sense to us, but it makes sense to Mr. Obama. Mm.
Diana, thank you. This is Susan. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. And we will be live streaming. And if people would like more information, they can go to www.teapartypatriots.org.
I'm looking at your website right now, and I wonder if you can just go over again for everyone who's listening what the details are of this. It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I would suggest to get there early. It starts at 1. There is no end time, and they do have a host of speakers, and, of course, it would be a great opportunity for you either before the rally begins or after the rally to go visit your senator and tell him exactly how you feel.
So that's on the west lawn of the White House tomorrow, is that correct? I mean, excuse me, of the Capitol?
Yes, west lawn of the White House at 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, September the 9th. I would make a few suggestions if I have time. Make sure you bring water, an umbrella, a hat, It's going to be extremely hot. And bring a chair, because there are no chairs provided. And
thank you, Diana. Can you stay with us and come back after the break? We'll be right back after this break. Thank you for being with us on It's a New Day.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Is she still there now? And welcome back. It's a new day. This is Kim Kennedy here with Elle and Susan Locke.
Good morning, everyone.
We welcome you folks, and we have with us here Diana Reamer of Tea Party Patriots. We're having a great conversation. Diana, we cut you off there. We ran out of time. Can you pick up where you left off about...
Sure, I'm sorry. Yeah, I would suggest that you bring an umbrella or hat, water, a chair, because the no chairs will be provided. And there is a chance of rain, a 50% chance. We're praying that it holds off so we can have this rally without the rain. But you know what? We're not fair weather birds. So rain or shine,
you're going.
It will go on.
Okay.
And if anyone out there is interested in finding more out about Tea Party Patriots and what we do as a national organization, or if you're interested in starting a local group, please contact me, Diana@teapartypatriots.org. I'm also the local group's logistics manager, so I help many people get started with their groups, etc.
Okay, that's great. Diana, we would like you to comment. I'm assuming, guessing, that you're familiar with how Harrisburg has just reintroduced the former House Bill and Senate Bill 300, now with new numbers, House Bill 1510 and Senate Bill 976, the Pennsylvania Fairness Act, and there's nothing fair about it at all. The it would add sexual orientation and gender identity of expression to the PA Human Relations Act, impacting employment, housing, and public accommodations. And it's the American Family Association is sharing with us that this is a very dangerous bill because it exists in several states already, and they say they have documented evidence that it is now currently negatively impacting Christian business owners with these type of laws, because it's a direct attack on religious freedom and the First Amendment. And they're warning us that you know, it seeks to play on the emotions of Pennsylvanians. There is no evidence that homosexuals are being discriminated against. In fact, they cite a September 2011 issue of the American Journal of Sociology, where it says that the gap between callbacks for gay and heterosexual applicants for jobs was insignificant. And we're just very concerned that the ongoing eroding of religious liberty is coming under attack in so many different directions. What are your thoughts on that? I'm sure you're familiar with this.
Well, I'm not so familiar with this bill, and I don't really know a lot about it except for what you told me. And what you told me is I agree fully that they're after the Christians.
Yes.
They are definitely after us as Christians. They're after our religious freedom. They're after our churches. They're after our freedom of speech. Look at the young lady that's in jail because she would not issue a marriage license to a gay couple because she felt that was against her religious right.
And maybe
there was an interesting posting on Facebook that, you know, someone said, well, she signed up, you know, to be a worker of the state, so she should do what the state wants. And another person said, she put her hand on that Bible, and when she swore to uphold her oath, she was swearing to God. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword here, but they are truly, truly after the Christians, without a doubt.
Yes, Susan, we spoke a little bit about that on Friday, and on Thursday, and we came to the same conclusion that ultimately this is what this is all about. We also read that the Kentucky Constitution clearly spells out, it's written there, you know, we saw it. It defined a marriage as being between a man and a woman. So who's breaking the law, we ask again.
Yeah, exactly. It's very sad. you know, everyone has a right to their belief and to do what they want. But to change what God has set forth as a marriage being between a man and a woman is totally wrong. Totally wrong. I don't even know what to say about it. It just doesn't make any sense.
And, of course, there's another rally going on today, Diana, there in Kentucky, to support Kay Davis there outside her prison. We know that Mike Huckabee's going to be there, and a lot of other people are rallying to show their support for her. So it's
absolutely.
Busy week.
Absolutely. I mean, I think she has a right to stand up for her beliefs. And I think that's what's wrong a lot in this country today is people don't stand up for their beliefs
yes,
anymore.
Would that more people would have the courage that she's displaying, right?
Exactly.
Well, it's not just her beliefs. This is Al. It's the nation's beliefs. Anytime they had a vote on same-sex marriage, essentially, the American people turned it down. Only when the judges got involved, five Supreme Court judges, did they reverse, an institution that's been around for thousands and thousands of years. So this is in the Constitution, if you read it yourself and you don't rely on some judge to read it or some law professor to interpret it for you, doesn't even say that the federal government has jurisdiction over marriage. So the Constitution was written to limit the power of the federal government to a certain specific areas, and the Constitution did not include in that those areas, you know, marriage. So this is a complete, they've taken over, and they've declared themselves, as one of the dissenting Supreme Court justices said, dictators. Over the American people. They're legislating from the bench.
And this is another instance of that. That judge was appointed. Kay Davis was elected by the people.
And I think if they held an election there in Kentucky, they'd probably confirm Kim Davis's position. And what we're seeing in this regards the Tea Party also, the national news media, the mainstream news media, depicts the Tea Party and other people like Kim Davis as being out of the mainstream. Well, we went out to the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference there in Harrisburg, and Cheryl Atkinson, former CBS news reporter, investigative reporter, has written books, very well established. We're actually playing a recording of her actual voice during her talk to the audience, which we were there at the time, and she said she did a study. The CBS people did a study on what the American people thought of the Tea Party, and she said roughly about 75% of the American people had a positive opinion of the Tea Party. She said she was stunned. She was it's so counter to what the standard thoughts of that she had and what it seems to be, that she actually, they've actually come up with a word for it. They call it astroturfing. And it's basically just over the real ground, over the real grass, they put this fake grass and they make the American people think the opposite of what they actually think. The Tea Party is mainstream, and the Tea Party is what American people have traditionally thought, and marriage is about as basic as it gets. And I appreciate your efforts to help the American people, to keep the American people informed, and we'll do what we can to support you.
I just have one thing to say.
Diana, could you hold on and stay with us over the break?
Then,
we have another break coming at the end of the hour. Thank you for listening to It's a New Day. Stay with us.
The world is turning in its place because you made it to lift my voice to sing a song.
Good morning and welcome back. This is It's a New Day on WFYL. We're so glad that you're here with us this morning. Up and at it. Summer is officially over, I guess. A couple more weeks, but for all intents and purposes, back to school, back to work, and we're glad you're here. We're here with Elle and Susan Locke, and Diana Reamer has stayed with us because we have so much to talk about, Diana. Elle, where did you leave off with Diana in your conversation there?
Well, I was just mentioning the distortion of the news by the mainstream media, and it's mainstream media has downgraded or basically said disparaging things about the Tea Party when the reality of it is it's a poll of the American people, according to a leading investigative reporter's CBS poll, and CBS is known to be liberal in their general views, but the CBS people said 75% of the American people regard the Tea Party in a very, very positive light. And when you distort the reality, when you distort what's actually true to that degree, then it has to remind me of Joseph Goebbels and the Nazis. You know, they manipulated the news. They made the German people think that Hitler was the greatest thing, and the reality of it was Hitler almost destroyed the world. So we need to learn from history. We need not to repeat history, and we need to have stations like this be supported by our listeners and get the real facts out. And the Tea Party is a great organization. It's a grassroots organization. It's not paid for by big money interests. It's not doing anything but trying to support traditional values and made of patriots like Diana and her husband. And we commend you for, we really commend you for your efforts, Diane. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I did want to say Tea Party Patriots, the national organization, is nonpartisan, and they do not get involved with social issues. So things that I've been talking about with you on the religious front are my views, not Tea Party Patriot.
Understood.
Right. I just wanted to make that clear. But also, the Tea Party movement is made up of everyday citizens. It's not just one Tea Party. It's, you know, many Tea Parties are made up of citizens across the country that really want to make a difference in their country by being educated on the issues and on the candidates. And, you know, years ago, what happened, I believe, is we weren't paying attention. Now we are paying attention. You know, we trusted our parties, we believed in our parties, and we did what they wanted. You know, well, we endorsed this candidate, he's a good guy, and we all said, okay, that's fine. You know, we're a Democrat or we're a Republican, that's who we'll vote for, because our party said so. But the people have woken up, and they're not accepting that anymore. And I think that's a totally good thing.
Diana, one of the issues that that frustrate these grassroots folks is that they get behind good candidates and send them off, and a lot of them do their own thing. They don't follow a conservative agenda.
No, and it's true, and it's very sad. And I think what you have to really keep them accountable. And there's only a few that are showing, coming through with their stand for what they believe in. And Ted Cruz is one of them. Louis Gohmert, Steve King. Michelle Bachmann, who's no longer in D.C., but they really believe in what they believe, and they believe in what their constituents want, and that's where the problem is coming in. And I believe that when candidates get voted in and they get in D.C., they're kind of like behind the eight ball when everyone else is saying, no, this is what you have to do, and they're saying, okay, well, that's what I have to do to stay in office. It's not about staying in office. It's about protecting your country. And I don't think they get that yet.
Just look at Ted Cruz.
Look at,
we would all agree here, don't Ellen Susan, that Ted Cruz, by the conventional thinking, shouldn't be in the place he is. But he says the right things, he takes the right stands, and he's wildly popular.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, for those who are just tuning in and didn't hear in the first segment why you're talking to us, why don't you repeat again about what's taking place tomorrow and the details?
Sure. Tomorrow we're having a Stop the Iran rally, Tea Party Patriots, along with the many coalition partners. We'll be having the rally in D.C. starting at 1 p.m. I would suggest to get there early, bring a chair, water, umbrella, because it's going to be very hot, and there is a chance for rain. It's a good opportunity, if you get down there early, to stop over to your senator's office and tell him how you feel about this Iran deal, because it is not a good deal. There's nothing in it for America, and it's all for Iran. So I would hope that you would go on to teapartypatriots.org and look at the Iran deal. We have an awesome toolkit on there where you can print out a letter to the senator, sample letters to the editor, and let's keep this out in front and in front of the people and get everyone more informed about what really is going on here.
Diana, once again, how do people get a hold of you if they want to talk to
Diana,
you?
Yeah, Diana at teapartypatriots.org. Diana at teapartypatriots.org.
Okay, great. Well, we'll be praying for a great turnout and that the weather holds off. And thank you for joining us. We're glad you could be with us.
Thank you so much. I'm going down today. We have lots to do for get ready for tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we wish you well.
Thank you so much for having me on. I certainly appreciate it, and God bless all of you.
Likewise.
God bless you, too.
God bless you, Diana. Thank you.
Thank you.
Al, you had some thoughts you wanted to share with us on the Tim Tebow?
Yes, I did. Over the weekend, Tim Tebow was let go by the Eagles. And Tim Tebow, in my estimation, I used to play football. I don't follow it. But on the other hand, I followed the fact that Tim Tebow was here in Philadelphia. I got a book on him. He's a terrific, terrific athlete. Not only is he a great athlete, but he's a great Christian and a great leader. And he has unbelievable drive to win and to give the glory to Christ. So Tim Tebow and the other candidate for third string quarterback were basically put in a game in the latest preseason game, and each one of them played a quarter, then the other one played a quarter, then the other one played a quarter, then the other one played a quarter, and Tim Tebow came up with his statistics and everything as a clear winner of this match. The other quarterback was shipped off to St. Louis or wherever, and I thought it was a done deal. Tim Tebow would have the third slot as backup quarterback. The reality of it turned out to be that they let Tim Tebow go too. And Tim Tebow took it very well and quoted the Bible, essentially saying everything works to the good of those who love God. But to me, it's it didn't go down well. Chip Kelly, the Eagles coach, immediately almost got another football player that was let go down in Jacksonville as the third string quarterback. But to me, the Eagles, and not just the Eagles, but the other football teams, are missing the big picture here. And Chip Kelly, I'm sure, is a great coach. I don't follow it that closely, like I said, but they all want to win, and the Eagles have had winning seasons the past 2 years. But the reality of it is it's more than just winning. And it's these athletes are they're put out there. They're covered so thoroughly. They're on the front page of the news and everything that a lot of our young people decide that they're these athletes are their heroes, and they want to be like their heroes. And Tim Tebow is the kind of person that I would like to see as an Eagle, as a role model for the children of Southeast Pennsylvania and Pennsylvania and the nation. Tim Tebow is more than just a Philadelphia phenomenon. He's a national phenomenon. He was Heisman Trophy winner when he was a sophomore. And he was the first and last one. And basically, he's one of the greatest players in the game that's playing right now. And for him to be let go when we had him here in Philadelphia is outrageous in my mind. It's more than just winning, like I said. It's winning for the children of Philadelphia. When Tim Tebow came on the field in Philadelphia during one of the preseason games for the first time, the fans stood up and they clapped for him. And basically, everybody knows who Tim Tebow stands for, what Tim Tebow stands for. He stands for the drive, the blue-collar work ethic of Philadelphia, the Christianity of Philadelphia, Southeast Pennsylvania, the Quaker State, the Friends started Pennsylvania, William Penn. He taps into that basic mother lode of Christianity and hard work. And to let him go is a travesty, and I urge all you listeners out there to get a hold of Chip Kelly and the Philadelphia Eagles organization. For my mind, I'd like to see Tim Tebow come back. God bless Tim Tebow, whatever God has in mind.
I will walk to you're the one who goes before me, and in my heart I know that this good day
Good morning and welcome back. We're glad you're here on It's a New Day, WFYL 1180 Radio. This is Kim Kennedy, and I'm here with Elle and Susan Locke. We've had a great morning so far. And Elle, what do we have on tap next?
Well, we have an ongoing situation in Kentucky. Kim Kelly is in jail there for
Kim Davis, for basically pronouncing
that she wouldn't issue same-sex marriage licenses. And she was put in jail by a federal judge out there who, ironically, is the son of former Senator Bunning. He pitched here for the Phillies, but they're Republicans. But apparently the judge has, and there's all kinds of investigative reporters out there, this Judge Bunning has some history of ruling favorably for homosexuals in the past. So this is, but to put her in jail is going beyond the pale. And Governor Huckabee is going out there today, I believe. Sam Rohr might be going out there. We'll just wait and see. But we're rooting for Kim, standing up for her convictions. And ironically, here in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia, for those listeners who might be listening to our streaming from Texas and other places, they had a similar situation with D. Bruce Haynes, who issued, and a local Montgomery County official issued, same-sex marriages before they were legal. And the Pennsylvania Constitution had an amendment to it that said marriage licenses, marriage could only be between a man and a woman. And so it's clearly was clearly illegal when Mr. Haynes made issued these licenses. And the Attorney General of Pennsylvania, Kathleen Kane, actually backed him up. And, you know, Governor Corbett didn't insist that that Mr. Haynes be stopped doing it or basically be put in jail like Kim was there in Kentucky. And it just seems like a double standard. Every place you look, it's a double standard, whether it's with Tim Tebow, who clearly is a superior athlete, outperformed the other gentleman, and was let go in spite of that, to Kim Davis, who's in jail for her beliefs. This is, and the Constitution, if you read it, if you read the piece of paper, you find that the federal government is exceeding its power left and right. And it's almost like the dissenting judges said in the same-sex marriage case that five unelected Supreme Court justices have taken on almost dictatorial powers. And this is not the way the United States was designed. It was we revolted from King George of England because he was doing that sort of thing. We basically have value freedom of religion. It's in the Bill of Rights. This is in here in Montgomery County. Haynes is basically proclaimed a visionary, even though the American people, the state of Pennsylvania, never thought to issue same-sex marriages. He did it on his own, and essentially out in Kentucky, Kim Davis is thrown in jail. So there's a double standard, and it needs to stop. The Constitution needs to be enforced as it was written, and basically if it isn't, it's going to cause long-term problems. This is not not the start of this, nor is it the end.
Well said, Al. We were talking in the break that it was reported that marriage licenses were introduced in the mid-19th century by the Democrat Party seeking to prevent interracial marriage. And the comment is that they've always been the party of inequality, and they still continue to be. Up until that time, people got married in the church without a license. It was seen as a function of the church. Look, people were looking for God's approval, not the state's blessing on it. So,
very good point.
Yes.
Very good point.
So there's some other misconceptions, Ellen, Susan, that I'd like you guys to comment on about Kim Davis. They're saying that she discriminated against homosexuals, all homosexuals, and she actually shut down issuing of all marriages from her license to avoid having to violate her religious beliefs or have this offense lodged against her. So you can rule that one out. They also say that she is a modern-day George Wallace, kind of comparing her to, you know, not allowing blacks into white schools. And you know, how can that be? If this isn't a case of a discrimination. This isn't a case of saying, well, you know, you can go to the school, you can't go to this school, that school. This is a case, first and foremost, it really isn't a case about discriminating or who can get married, who can't get married. It comes down to a case of obeying the law. I keep coming back to the fact that Kentucky's own constitution states that a marriage is between a man and a woman. She's obeying her state law. Well, can't we park on that? And as Al, you alluded to earlier, our own Attorney General, Kathleen Kane, violated DOMA. Six or seven other attorney generals around the country violated DOMA. Al, is DOMA still the law of the land?
Well, I'm not going to comment on that right now, but I will comment on what's happening. And this has happened before in Germany. The homosexuals were used to basically bring Hitler into power. And they had the brown shirts. It was a big paramilitary organization who were competing against the communists from Russia, USSR, and they were basically vying for control of Germany. And the Germans elected to put their faith in Hitler because he was the strongest force counterweighting what was happening in the USSR, where they confiscated all businesses, all farms, all industry, and nationalized it. So Hitler used the brown shirts under Ernest Röhm, who was a homosexual. All the main officers of the brown shirts, and the huge hundreds of thousands of men, were all the officers were homosexual. And they fought, and they were basically very, very ideological, very, very fanatical. And after studying it for some time, and you can go get a book called The Pink Swastika. And that just means what I just said, that a lot of the, if not almost all, of the officers of the Nazis' brown shirts were homosexual. Pink swastika. If you read that book, you'll see a validation of what I have. They were so radical that they put Hitler over the top. They got so radical when they got Hitler into power that he formed the SS and basically had a night of long knives, and he basically captured Ernest Röhm and had him commit suicide and killed 100,000 other people. But this is happening again in the United States. We have these fanatical homosexuals, and the reason they're fanatical is their deviant practices. They don't have the morals that a lot of us have, and basically they're fanatical because they die young. And anyway, this is what's happening. It's happened before. We must resist them one way or the other.
Lord, I know that this good day, it is a gift from you. The world is turning in its place because you made it.
Good morning and welcome back to It's a New Day. We're glad you're with us during the second hour. I'm Kim Kennedy, here with Susan and Al Locke. We're glad you're here. And we are so thrilled to have with us Calvin Tucker, President and CEO of the Eagles Capital Advisors. It's a financial management and economic development consultant firm. Calvin, I'm going to have to condense this because, man, you have been a very busy, active man. You've written several articles. I'd like to find out more about your local radio show, There's Money Out There. And I have a feeling some of our listeners would like to hear about that as well. In addition to your business interest, you also are have done a lot of work as for the Republican Party. Most recently, Calvin has currently the 22nd Ward Republican leader. He's the former 50th Ward Republican leader. He's the assistant treasurer of the Philadelphia City Republican Party. He's the president of the Germantown Republican Club. He's the chairman of the Pennsylvania Black Republican Council. And he's also a Republican state, Pennsylvania State Republican Committee man. And he was a Philadelphia City Republican Committee man and a former Republican national delegate. in 2012. Did I get that all right, Kelvin?
You did, and you said former committeeman. I am a
current.
I'm current committeeman in the city as well as a ward leader in the 22nd ward.
All right. Thank you for the correction.
But I want to thank you guys for inviting me to participate in this Liberty broadcast.
Well, we're glad you made it. We had the privilege and honor to meet you at the Republican Leadership Conference. And Kelvin, Elle, and Susan and I were thrilled but surprised at the number of Black Republicans that were present, because I get most of my news through a variety of sources, but concerning locally, you watch 3, 6, and 10, The Inquirer, and you wouldn't think that there were minorities in the Republican Party, and I think you're going to set my perception straight.
Well, certainly, that's a false narrative. Blacks have been involved in the Republican Party for a long time. We understand the history of the party, that it started back when the party started in 1857. As an abolitionist party.
That's right.
And if we understand the history, you understand that the party has been supportive of African Americans, and African Americans should support the party as well. In Pennsylvania, we have a significant number of African Americans. And as a chairman of the Pennsylvania Black Republican Council and the Philadelphia Black Republican Council, I see every day Black Republicans that are committed to the principles and the pragmatism of the party. And that's something that I try to sell. I try to sell both the principles and the pragmatic approach that more African Americans must be involved in our party in order to, and I go back to a statement made in the 1980 Republican National Convention by a fellow by the name of Pastor Jesse Jackson. And he said that, why should blacks be in the outhouse just because there's a Republican either in the White House or the governor's mansion or the mayor's seat? So I think that we have to, from a practical standpoint, African Americans have to understand the political process and continue to support the Republican Party.
What's been your experience as a Black Republican? Do you feel that you've experienced discrimination, or has it been a positive experience?
Oh, it's been a positive experience, but let me tell you, there is institutional racism in this marketplace. You cannot avoid it. It is embedded. But on average, if you look for, the boogeyman in the dark, you're going to find him.
Do you think things have gotten better since you've gone into business as compared to now? Do you think that's improved?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our standard of living has improved in the African-American community as well as other communities. but we got to continue to strive to make our society better. We have to ensure that, all people understand each other. And I think those are the things that continue to improve our lot in life.
You know, Kelvin, as we watch what's happening in the Black community, it is not something that many of us do not enjoy seeing. Because from my point of view, they were sold a bill of goods in 2008 that life was going to be better with this current administration. Their unemployment rate, 94 million Americans just aren't looking for work anymore. Right. And a decent number of them are Black Americans, Black teenagers.
Right.
And I think a lot of the frustration is that what they thought was going to be a better life for them, their lot in life has actually really deteriorated. What's your response to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, and absolutely. these last 8 years has not been kind to America based on the current occupant of the White House. African Americans have suffered in a sense. If you look at the overall unemployment rate among African Americans, about 10.2% as compared to the overall unemployment rate of about 5.2% of all other citizens. So we have to take some ownership of what we see as failed economic policy, and we have to try to address that by in 2016, putting someone in office who understands how to bring us together as a nation, how to create jobs, because, the number one failure is not giving a sustainable job to you know, to those who want to work.
Mm. An opportunity, too.
An opportunity, absolutely.
Susan, your thoughts so far?
Well, we're just so glad to have you with us this morning, Calvin. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you, Susan.
Sharing all this information. Mm-hmm. You have so much, we hardly know where to start to tap into it. What are the most pressing things right now on your agenda? What's at the top of your list right now that you're working on?
Well, I mean, I'm working on recruiting and engaging more African Americans across the Commonwealth. There are 67 counties in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and there are about 20 to 25 counties where the population of African Americans are in excess of 10%. And we want to go to all of those counties, from counties from obviously Philadelphia and Chester and Norristown, Coatesville, York, PA, Erie, Pennsylvania, Williamsport, Scranton, Wilkesboro. Those are areas where we need to get full engagement, because if we're going to make a dent in 2016 and win Pennsylvania, we're going to have to bring more groups into our tent. More African Americans must understand the philosophy that we got to create jobs. And the only way to do that is getting them fully engaged in that process, and not politics as usual, not supporting, you know, the Democrat candidate just because that candidate is the one that they are used to supporting.
Are you finding a receptive audience and positive response?
Oh, absolutely.
When you go to these places?
Yeah, I mean, I had a meeting of the Republican leadership, and I brought in about 50 folks, most of whom are Democrat civic leaders and political leaders. And during the course of the meeting, many of the participants suggested that this is the first time we've had a substantial discussion with Republicans. And as a result of that, you know, we've got some registration change. I'm not necessarily concerned about registration changes. I am about changing their minds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you vote for your interests, that's an important thing,
right.
Whether you are registered one way or the other, but you got to vote for your self-interest.
Mm-hmm.
And your self-interest is, you know, based on some old principles. I mean, if you go back to the African-American community, we were family-oriented. We were church-oriented. We
right.
had moral convictions.
You were business owners.
We were business owners, entrepreneurs, you know, Black Wall Street in Oklahoma. I mean, so those are the things that we have to communicate and get more people on that that road, that path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As Kim said, we were so pleased and surprised, but really pleased to see the number of really active people there at that conference in the spring, doing wonderful things in Philadelphia. It's really great. So we commend you for what you're doing.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, Philadelphia is a first class, the only first class city in the Commonwealth. And, you know, the population, you got 1.5 million people. You have a registration where Republicans are outnumbered by 7-1. You know, it is somewhat an uphill battle, but
it's a challenge.
it's a challenge, but you know, but someone has to take the banner up and continue to fight. And I think that's what we're doing in the city, and we're trying to go out to communities where there are lesser minorities.
That's Calvin. Great. We'll pick that up right after this break. Come back and speak with Calvin Tucker. Have a good day.
On this good day. Lord, I know that this good day, it is a gift from you. The world is turning in its place.
Good morning and welcome back to It's a New Day. This is Kim Kennedy along with Al and Susan Locke, and we're joined by Calvin Tucker. And Calvin is our guest. We met him at the Northeast Republican Leadership Conference back in June, and have really been enjoying the conversation with him. Calvin, you want to share a little bit more about yourself with our listeners before we pick up the conversation?
Yeah. Besides being the chairman of the Pennsylvania and the Philadelphia Black Republican Council, I hope to be on the trail to be a delegate again next year to represent the city of Philadelphia and the Commonwealth in Cleveland in July of next year, so we can nominate our presidential candidate, and then we can go on to fall victory and have 4 years of economic growth and national security.
Much needed, huh?
Much needed.
Do you have a strategy for the upcoming Democratic convention that's going to be in Philadelphia? A counter strategy?
Well, no. The chairman of the city party and I had a conversation the other night to see if someone from our party would be called to. To analyze the goings on of the party, of the Democratic Party, and the things that they're proposing to do to our country, not for our country. And we haven't gotten that call yet.
Well, that'll be interesting to see how you guys come against that.
That's a very good way of putting it. I've heard it put that way. That's very good.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking in the last segment about your work to get the message out, and I was thinking during the break, well, you certainly don't have the media behind you. It's strictly a grassroots effort, and how do you educate minorities about the truth, about the advantages? Certainly, we're not talking about a perfect party, anything like that. There's problems anywhere, but I would call the Republican Party at this point between the two the pro-work party.
Mm-hmm.
Truly progressive party. How do you go about that?
Yeah, I mean, again, we believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness without significant government interference. And we kind of take that message to town hall meetings and community meetings across the Commonwealth, wherever we're invited, to talk about the principles of the party. And again, Kim, as you mentioned, the Republican Party is the pro-work opportunity party. And in the business world, that's kind of what I do as well. And I know you mentioned my radio program. There's money out there. Are you prepared to receive it? Because and I add that tagline because many of our small businesses and entrepreneurs need capital, but they're not prepared to receive it. And so we talk about that process as we go around throughout the Commonwealth that, you know, are you prepared for the opportunity? And the Republican Party brings the opportunity, but you got to be prepared to receive it. And do you understand it? So you got to understand the opportunity. as anything in life, you need to work for it. That's kind of what we say is this is a hard process, but we as a party will work for your support and you need to work to, you know, support us.
When you speak to people about this, do you see the light bulbs go on? Do you see that people get that concept?
Well, Susan, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
When you first, it's kind of like, I've been in the business development world for, 30 some years, developing businesses, doing sales. So when you meet with a group, there is some level of apprehension, mistrust.
Mm-hmm.
You need to meet with them again. You need to have emissaries that, continue to talk to those individuals to get the message out. And at some point, the light goes on. Out of 10 people, you may go on for 2 people.
Mm-hmm.
May go on for 3 people. And those odds that you can live with as long as you make an impact over a sustained period of time.
Right.
It's really interesting as you guys, Susan and Calvin, as you're talking, it seems to me that the black community has been sold a bill of goods for so many years. And a lot of the kids in public schools in inner cities really don't have much of an education. And people come to wrong conclusions.
Kim, I just wanted to interject. We picked up this book over the weekend by Mark Levin, Plunder and Deceit. And it really outlines the very things we're talking about. I don't want to get into it right now, but it really does talk about the lies that people have been fed, especially our young people. And as Ronald Reagan said, we're only one generation away from losing our freedom at any given time. You know, people need to be taught. So what you're doing is so important, getting out there and sharing these truths with people.
Yeah, I mean, and we have to do that. And Kim, I know you were driving towards, you know, this educational issue. I think that our community believes in giving their young people, their kids, choice. Our public school system, on average, is not providing the educational choice that's necessary. So if charter schools or parochial schools or private schools is a choice, then our children ought to be made available to those. The big obstacle is government and the teachers' union. Mm-hmm. And until those issues are significantly addressed, we won't have freedom of choice to educate our children. In the city of Philadelphia, about 49% of African-American students drop out. Wow. And that number could be higher, but I'm you know, well, using an old number.
By the official stats, huh?
By the official stat. and it's broken. The school system is broken. We have obsolete facilities where they house 40-50% of the students that used to house 70-80%. I was on the board of a charter school a couple of years ago, and the charter school was in a parochial school, but it was able to find financing to build a $23 million state-of-the-art school system. It gave children access to computers and Wi-Fi, all of the things that our new economy is now addressing. And if you have 49% of your students dropping out of school, where is that 49% going to find a productive job in our society?
Exactly.
Not in the information age, because you have to be highly skilled to get. And so that's a throwaway session.
Right.
And we need to really address education, because that is that's the future.
That's when we're running out of time in this segment. Quickly again, Kelvin, why don't we pick that up again in the next one? This is really a great discussion. We appreciate your frankness on it. We really do.
Thank you.
Susan?
Yes, thank you so much. We will come back and talk with you some more right after this break. Stay with us on It's a New Day.
Lift my voice to sing a song of praise on this good day. A gift from you. The world is turning in its place because you made it.
Good morning and welcome back to It's a New Day. We're so glad you joined us. I'm Kim Kennedy here with Al and Susan Locke this morning. And we're having a great conversation with Kelvin Tucker, just really, truly talking about things that matter. And Kelvin is the current president and CEO of Eagles Capital Advisors, a financial management and economic development consultant firm. Right now, we're currently talking about his work with the Philadelphia Black Republican Council, Philadelphia State Republican Committeeman, Philadelphia City Republican Committeeman, and he's a former Republican national delegate. In 2012, he was. And Kelvin, you're a visionary. You're a man who sees what many other people can't see, and you try to transfer that to the younger generation of upcoming African-American kids. Share with us what you were during the break, if you don't mind, some of your the personal stories of changing lives, touching people's lives, and making a difference.
Well, Kim and Susan, I was sharing a story that back in the 90s in my business world, I was asked to be a mentor in Albany, Georgia, at Albany University, on behalf of Albany University, at some of the local middle schools and one of the high schools. And Myself and the president of the Alumni Association was in a classroom. We were sharing our middle-class values to the children. And so it was about a ratio of 30 to 1, 30 kids to one teacher. And none of the kids were responding to our middle-class value. So I kind of reverted back to my my younger years and related some stories that they could relate to. And as I did that, one young man sitting in the front of the class started reacting. So we could see the dynamics of power in that class, and the power was emanating from that one kid. And as he spoke, others would follow him. At the end of the class, he gets up and he approaches me and he hugs me, walks out of the class, and the teacher walks over to the President of the Alumni Association, myself, and said, "Well, do you know who this kid?" I said, "No, I'm from Philly. I'm not from Georgia, so I don't know." So she said he was the drug kingpin of Albany, Georgia. And so I looked at him, and I asked the teacher if I could get his phone number and address so that I could keep in communication. Because what I realized is that if this guy is at 17 a kingpin, he's also your Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, he is right. The future leader of this country.
Exactly.
So all you need to do is give him some guidance.
Mm-hmm.
But what I also related to the Alumni Association is that we do children a misjustice when we only impart our values one day out of a year.
Right.
When those kids have to go back to communities where they may or may not have parental guidance, where they have to survive and, you know, feed themselves. So it's no wonder that a child like that would revert to all of the ills and evil in our society. Mm-hmm. Only if we can convert them,
mm-hmm.
we can nurture them.
Consistency.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. in their lives. Mm-hmm. Now, that's certainly not to say that overwhelmingly prevailing in our community, in the African American community, but those are some examples where you get to children that need.
Doesn't sound like it costs like hundreds of millions of tax dollars, huh? Just your time,
just
and
time,
your interest.
Time, mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. We just need to be able to devote the appropriate time. But I also, Kim, I want to relate another story that we talked about. you know, going across the Commonwealth, and I've talked to the state chairman, our city chairman, about this as well. African-Americans, if they see African-American leadership in the Republican Party, they're more likely to embrace, to understand it, to have a communications with it. And one such African-American who has risen to become a leader is the election of Harry Lewis, Coatesville and
yes,
Downingtown.
Mm-hmm.
He is a statewide figure, and we need to kind of work across the Commonwealth with organizations and committees like the one in Chester County that provided the resources, knowledge, and the input to get Harry elected. Mm-hmm. And then I think that we'll start seeing more African-American engaged
yes.
in.
Susan, yes. We had Harry on the
yes,
program.
Yes, he's a wonderful and well-respected gentleman. It was a pleasure to get to know him and just so happy that he was elected.
Yeah, he is a great guy.
Great reputation in the community. Yeah. It affected the lives of so many young people through the years. And the parents
right,
and their children.
And yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it an oversimplification to say, Calvin, is, you know, there's the party of endless welfare, and I don't see hope in that. I don't see a future. Or to say there's a party that can teach you the tools that you need to make it in life, to support yourself, that confidence that comes from, you know, growing. And, you know, God gives every human being that comes in this world gifts and talents.
Right.
And by his grace, we develop them and become all that he wants us to be. And that's a vision. That's something that you impart to someone to give them a hope for life and to discover those talents. So I see here's one, the so-called easy way, and the other path, which is individual, you know, self-dependence, discovering what your talents are, working to develop them, making it. Your thoughts?
No, and I certainly agree. And I just take an example of the city of Philadelphia. For 60 years, we have been dominated by the Democrat Party. And yet, when you look at all of the typical barometers of a community growing. You don't see it. Unemployment today is worse than it was, some time ago. If you look at poverty, you look at the economic distress in communities in the city, each one of those barometers, you look at housing and home ownership, those are the results of policies that have not been constructive. These policies have been, on average, destructive. So we need to have a party, a process that thinks about, put in place processes and opportunities that's going to grow the community economically, politically, socially, religiously, and otherwise. Mm-hmm. And I think the Republican Party can do that.
Mm. Sounds like, once again, you're talking about somebody who comes in with ideas, not just empty rhetoric. Vote for me and you'll have three chickens in every pot.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Vote for me and I'll show you how to make it into life.
Right. No, and that's it. I mean, we have to stop just casting our ballot for, you know, someone who can articulate the issues but will not implement the issues, not do the hard things. I mean, somebody who wants to raise taxes. I was just talking to a couple of state legislators regarding a problem that we have identified. While I own my company, I have a major contract with a 501c3 company in the city of Philadelphia. And we do economic and community development. We built a shopping center in the city, in the underserved community. And it has provided growth and opportunity within the African-American community, underserved community. When you have and we provide loans. And so recently I provided a loan to a social service agency that's under contract with the city of Philadelphia and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But because of the budget impasse, they're not being paid. So we provided a loan to this agency. And there are many other agencies that need financing to make it through this uncertain time of impasse, right? So I talked to the legislators, and they said, well, you know, we proposed a budget to the governor, but the governor wants to raise taxes. Mm-hmm. He wants to raise more taxes on corporations, particularly in the Marcel Shell industry.
More taxes than all the other states in the United States combined.
Oh, absolutely.
It's outrageous.
It is outrageous. And so what I said is, and the legislature said, well, we're going to propose our budget, and this was before he totally vetoed the full budget, that maybe he can line item veto certain items, but social service items to providers must go on. There are other essential services, but, you know, unless he gets his tax increase, and he's standing pat on those issues, and I think it's a very difficult issue that we have to begin to confront.
And the people are paying the price for it.
People are paying the price.
Well, we will be back with Calvin for more discussion. Stay with us.
Lift my voice, sing a song of praise on this good day.
WFYL's financial expert Michael Novak can be heard here on The Balanced Life. A certified financial planner and charter member of Kingdom Advisors, Michael is passionate about total life stewardship that helps you reach your full potential. Contact Michael Novak today at lifestewardshipadvisors.com or call 717-560-2813 to get greater clarity on your life vision, gain increased joy in giving, and find peace for the days ahead. Reach your full potential with Mike Novak at Life Stewardship Advisors.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia learns how to marry wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers. Prayer in the Park, Saturday, September 12th, 2015, from 10 a.m. until noon at Valley Forge Park in the Artillery Picnic Pavilion, East Interline Drive. Valley Forge Patriots and Faith and Freedom Coalition of Pennsylvania strongly encourage everyone to make a little time and come pray for America. We as a nation are in trouble, and believers from all faiths need to come together and humble ourselves before God. Please, can't you set 2 hours aside for the good of America? Invite all your friends, church friends, neighbors, leaders for this most important morning. That's Prayer in the Park at Valley Forge Park, Saturday, September 12th, from 10 a.m. till noon. For more information, go to galaxypwd@aol.com. That's galaxypwd@aol.com.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
This good day, it is a gift from you. The world is turning in its place because you made it too.
Hello and welcome back to our last segment of It's a New Day. This is Kim Kennedy here with Alan Susan Locke and our special guest Calvin Tucker. Calvin, once again, to remind our listeners, you are the president and CEO of Eagles Capital Advisors, a financial management and economic development consultant firm. You also have written articles for various newspapers. You have a radio program called There's Money Out There. And also you serve on numerous Republican functions. There's a lot of them. You're the current 22nd Ward Republican leader. You're with the Pennsylvania Black Republican Council. You're the chairman, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We were having a really good conversation, Susan. Do you want to pick up that up from the break?
Well, I think if you could just pick up, Calvin, what you were saying, that it was very, very interesting.
Yeah, I think we were talking about the fact that the organization that I worked with, we have a, we provide financing to entrepreneurs and small businesses, and because of the budget impasse, we've been able to provide some financing to a couple of organizations that provide services to social services to young children between 1 and 13 years old who are in need of mental and physical therapy. And the state, because of the budget impasse, are not providing funds for those. So what we did was provide them with an interim loan to help them through the
process.
That's
wonderful. Thank God for organizations like yours who are able to do that right now, because many schools and organizations and entities are very adversely affected by this.
Yeah, and
impasse.
Anytime there's an impasse, and I know years ago I used to be on the board of Philadelphia Parents Child Center, we went through the same thing, and we had a daycare center with probably 50, 60 kids, and all of whom were part of the receiving state assistance. Mm-hmm. And when we had the budget impasse, we had to go out and find a line of credit. And that's what those kind of organizations and schools and et cetera have to do during this impasse. And it's ironic that I think within a week or so, the legislature itself will be out of money. So I believe that there would be some internal pressure to go ahead and get this thing done. But I would call on the governor and all the appropriate parties to really try to negotiate a way to get funds to these very needy communities and services. I think I talked about life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness without significant government interference. This is one area where the government has to interfere, because without these services to those individuals, I would shudder to think what the results would be.
Well, we were talking a little bit, Calvin, earlier about the hashtag Black Lives Matter movement. And from many people's point of view, it is a movement seen to divide and not unite. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. As I sit here, every life in this studio mattered. My life, my family. So it goes without saying that black lives, white lives, brown lives, they matter.
Unborn lives?
Lives, absolutely. In the city of Philadelphia, every night there is an incident. Matter of fact, with the celebration this weekend, two young kids, one from Phoenixville and one from Baltimore, was hit by a cab. Their lives matter. So I think we have to stop the rhetoric and realize that every life matters, regardless of the circumstances. If it's a police officer who shoots an individual for cause or no specific cause, yeah, that life matter, and we need to be able to investigate and determine what happened. But on average, we got to stop the rhetoric. And stop allowing folks to
push our buttons.
Push our buttons for whatever reason they push the button. for their own self interest, as opposed to the interest of us as citizens.
You're here, Al. I think you wanted to add something to that.
I did want to say a few words. This recent subject, Black Lives Matter. We've run into a situation here at the station where Americans for Prosperity has brought up that we have like 5 to 8 times more people in prison than a lot of other developed similar countries. And that's not 10% more. That's not 20% more. That's 500 to 800%. And so a majority of those people are black. And there is something that really, really needs to be addressed, because this is hard facts, numbers. We shouldn't have those people in jail learning to be criminals. We need to productively put those people in positions where they learn things, where they contribute to society. So I can see the Black Lives Matters point of view to a certain degree. When you get 500% more people in jail per unit population, that's unacceptable, and we need to do something about that as soon as possible. The other thing I wanted to comment on is, the Republican Party could use more black leadership in the party, and I have some reservations about that. I personally know and admire J.C. Watts. He was a football player, quarterback, a black gentleman from Oklahoma. He was elected from a largely white district, which I was really proud of, because back then, when he was first elected, it was unusual that a largely white district would elect J.C. Watts. But his father was a minister. He was exemplary character. He was a standout citizen. And basically, I was really proud that the Republican leadership advanced him and actually made him like third in power in the House of Representatives there in Washington, D.C. I happened to be down there for a fundraiser and met J.C. when President Obama was running for election the first time. And for whatever reason, he confided at that moment to me and the other people that were there that he was going to vote for President Obama. And I was saddened by it because President Obama had unbelievable liberal credentials, community organizer, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We've all seen it beyond a doubt now. And I was saddened by it, but I kind of understood it because basically he was a black man, the first black president. But on the other hand, the black community, in addition, the black community voted like 95% for President Obama. We need to get people like yourself, Calvin, who really believe in Republican principles, not just the color of their skin. We need people that really are committed to the values. And I just wanted to make that that point.
And we really thank you for being with us this morning, Calvin Tucker. It's been an honor and a privilege to have you with us.
It's today. Certainly been an honor and privilege.
Thank you for all you're doing.
Here. Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Circumstances become chaotic. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit according to Galatians 5:22. We have it given to us when we are born again. But the reason we feel the lack of peace is because we are not responding in faith to what God has done for us, given us, and promised us. Trusting God in His goodness and ability and not our carnality is responding in faith, and this releases the peace of God in us. Isaiah 26:3 says this beautifully. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Yes, peace is a byproduct of our trust in him.
This is A Liberating Truth brought to you by Bella Victor. For more information, contact Bella at MinuteWithTheMaster.com.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180, WFYL,
King of Prussia,
Philadelphia.